And welcome to Odyssey. My name is Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient and modern mysteries all across the globe. And a fine hello to everybody out there. We have a special guest today. Her name is Laura Eisenhower. She kind of burst on the scene a few years ago and is the great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower and is doing a lot of speaking about metaphysical topics. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hi, Mike. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So let's jump right into it. There's a pretty big newspaper out of England, the Daily Mail, and they ran a big story this week. The headline was, Ike, or Eisenhower, had three meetings with UFOs in the 1950s, the Nordics, and he signed a contract with the Greys. What's your take on this article?
Well, I mean, I think it's good that it's come out. I think everybody's been sort of waiting for things like this to hit more mainstream. And so I shared it, and I've been just talking about this topic a lot of the origins of these treaties, which go way before Eisenhower, and just sort of how it ended up coming to where it is today. And so I'm just glad that, you know, this is being considered by people, because it's disclosure in a lot of ways, and it lets the cat out of the bag. But for me, I think it lets everything out of the bag once the topic gets, you know, once the ball gets rolling with a topic like this. I think it only invites just everything on the subject to start to come out. So for that, I'm happy.
Right. It was a serious article. It wasn't like something in the National Enquirer that was making humor of it. It was talked about a New Mexico base. And do you have any hard evidence about this, or is it difficult because Eisenhower passed away so long ago?
Yeah, I don't have any hard evidence, and nobody in my family talks about it. This is something that I've just been open to most of my life, and then with all the whistleblower testimonies and just the nature of the work that I do and my exposure to that Mars recruitment, I wouldn't say I have hard evidence, but I have enough life experience and contact with whistleblowers to say that without a doubt, this more than likely happened. And I think it's hard to get, you know, the real truth of what exactly happened, just because there's a lot of different takes on it. But I have no doubts that meetings did take place. So, yeah, I there's not really a part of me that can go into any doubt. I'm more into trying to bring as much of, you know, as much clarity to the topic as possible, but not based on family secrets, more based on my own experiences. The Mars recruitment opened my eyes a lot to Alternative 3, which was established, you know, during the Eisenhower administration, and just the nature of, you know, extraterrestrial technology and some of the stuff going on in relation to MJ-12 and what Dan Burrish talks about. These were the sort of things that I was getting close with during that time. And, yeah, you know, there were a lot of conversations and email exchanges that really related to this, and it just makes sense that, you know, some sort of deal was made, and the deal was broken, and the military has their hands on a lot of technology that they're using incorrectly, and they involve themselves as though they are, you know, the abductors. And I think they've taken over this role a lot more than the ETs have in a lot of ways. So, yeah, there's just a lot to it, that's for sure.
Excellent. So in 1961, President Eisenhower is leaving office. He gives a speech about the military-industrial complex. Can you explain what troubled him at that time, and what did it look like back then? What did that relationship between military and business look like back then that troubled him so much?
Well, like I said, I don't have much hard evidence, and I wasn't there during the time, but just on reflecting and just what my intuition tells me and what it all just all the testimony sort of equates to is that, you know, he was really pushed into the presidency by Rockefeller after the Second World War. And I think he began to realize that he didn't really have allies. He was actually taken in by the very people that helped fund the war or were, you know, closely associated with it, and started to really see the game being played and recognize that he didn't have a whole lot of power as president in certain arenas. And that the presidency was really becoming more about the power of the Pentagon and the military, much more than the office of, you know, presidency, where one, you know, can exercise their authority. I think he was silenced. There's a lot of testimony that he wasn't able to talk about things. And from what I know, previous to those treaties, there was already the three-letter organizations, you know, established by Truman. And, you know, the ET cover-up was already majorly in play. And a lot of experimentation had already taken place before this particular treaty. And I am pretty darn sure, after hearing from three different whistleblowers and just some amazing researchers, that the treaty gets renewed every 10 years, and it began with Roosevelt. But it originally began with Churchill, Hitler, and Aleister Crowley, that being the deals with Graves and the experimentation and the abductions. That all began quite early on. So I think by the time he got in office, you know, there was already so much, you know, reptilian control in the government that he found himself more as a pawn than, you know, a leader. And that's what the warning was really about, was that, you know, the power is in dangerous hands, and we have to be aware as a populace and begin to act and stand for our rights, because our governments aren't going to give it to us. And one of my favorite quotes from him is, "I think the people want peace so bad that the government better step out of the way so that they can have it."
Absolutely. That's great. So I want to talk about the media a little bit. At some point, giant corporations that make weapons also owned stock in the media. So that's quite an unholy relationship. And what's your take on that?
I think it's all unholy relationships. Everything from media to religion to government is all, you know, based on these, like, hidden underground sort of rings, criminal rings. And, you know, our tax dollars and everything that we feed into the system just purchases things that would horrify us, and just keeps this military-industrial complex going. And there's so many players involved in all areas of our existence that form, you know, these power structures, whether it's entertainment, media, religion, or government. There's something within all of them that is involved in the New World Order agenda, whether it's social engineering or, you know, buying weapons or mind control weapons or, you know, staging false flags to creating facades in order to control the population. Yeah, it's all connected.
Right. I'm curious about your take on television. I've never really heard you talk about it, but the average American is watching about 5 hours a day of TV with hundreds and hundreds of commercials. What is your take on the effect on television and the American public?
I just think it's just awful. I think it's just damaging the children so much. I mean, I talk to my kids and my stepdaughter, and I'm horrified what I hear about, you know, what's happening at the schools. And I think, you know, it's directly related to television, just the way people identify with themselves, all this distortion about, you know, masculine and feminine energies. And, you know, the people that are famous in our pop culture just have, you know, a really subliminal dark message, and it really is steering our kids in the wrong direction. And and that's what it's all about. It's really to get people immersed in what I consider to be the Luciferian reptilian agenda, you know, stimulating the brain to be in a lower vibration and to be cut off from one's higher self. And a lot of it is just deception. Everything in the news are lies, and everything that promotes you know, pop culture is just of such a low energy that you know, you put both together and it creates a bunch of zombies that can't think for themselves. And people don't question any of it because they think it's reality. And to me, it's a box that leads us into the artificial matrix and completely cuts us off from nature. And it doesn't educate. It doesn't really do anything. And I'm upset with the school systems as well. I think everything out there is corrupt. And I mean, I don't want my kids to have anything to do with it, but unfortunately I'm not in the position to completely pull them out of it. But luckily they're aware, but a lot of kids aren't. And, you know, GMOs in the school lunches, just vaccines. I mean, the whole thing is just a disaster.
Exactly. And we're going to go through the problems and solutions in just a little bit. But I also want your take on, if you look at movies, like if you go to Netflix or Amazon, and how many are horror films? I would guess 50% are horror films. And this goes way beyond Friday the 13th. These are horrific, shockingly gory films. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's just, it really desensitizes people. And you know, the amount of violence we see in the news and in the movies, whether it's fiction or real, just, you know, puts us in the mindset that war and murder and cheating and lying is just part of the human condition, and it's not. It's just been programmed into our society. None of it's natural. It's all, you know, really just dumbing us down, and so is technology, to the point where, you know, we just become a little bit complacent rather than looking beneath the curtain to understand why the heck this stuff is even going on. None of these wars are real. And, yeah, and so, you know, people watch these movies, and it's just, it triggers their brain to just be in this sort of aggression and addiction and sort of a reptilian mind. And it's very much ego-based as well, just this kind of service to self. To a lesser degree, I mean, I don't think people are going to go out and murder, but I know that, you know, some people don't really think that it's that far of a stretch. And, you know, best case scenario, it just kind of puts a person in the wrong part of their brain, and it doesn't activate harmony. It just keeps a lot of duality, and it just feeds into the unconscious, and people don't know how to really act in relationships. There's so much drama in the world just between ourselves, and just the relationship we have with ourselves is not very healthy. And we're just really split in our consciousness when we see so much violence, and everything is just really triggering our lower chakras, and that's where we're controlled. I mean, our chakra system is completely manipulated, and it comes through movies and media and news and everything that we're fed.
Excellent answer. You touched on GMOs. So we had a bill in California that really, really, really should have passed that would label our food. First of all, do you think the votes were manipulated on that one? And how can we eat fresh, healthy food and avoid the GMOs? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think most voting is manipulated. I think, you know, the whole future is really, you know, already set in motion as far as what their plan is. And they're going to make it happen whether we vote against it or not. And, you know, there has to be a larger stance taken. I mean, I think everybody should go on strike, stop sending their kids to school, stop voting, stop paying taxes. But, you know, there's only a few of us that think that way, and it's not a very promising thing to have just a few of us feel this when the rest of everybody is just kind of going along with it. I know a lot of people are speaking out against the GMOs, and there was the Occupy movement. But, you know, even with mass protests and, you know, opportunities to make things steer in a different direction, I don't think we have a whole lot of power. And so something really radical has to happen, something larger than Occupy, something that isn't so much engineered, because I feel like some of it was. You know, the reptilian mind doesn't do well with human spontaneity, so I think it just takes a lot of people to gather together and, you know, figure out an action plan that is a little bit different than anything that's ever been done before, you know, beyond protesting. And I have some ideas, but I'm afraid to spill the beans on it. But I think that, you know, there should be some councils and groups that come together and really, you know, strategize ways to really, you know, make a change and be more focused on exposing the deceptions that go on rather than, you know, advocating for the things that should be voted for, because we don't have a whole lot of power in the vote. We need to go deeper than that. We need to expose the criminal behavior, the ritual abuse, the patterning of putting, you know, people in office that are mind controlled, that are a part of a CIA project, so that people really know what we're dealing with, rather than thinking that, you know, going out and voting or being an advocate is enough, because it's not. You know, because we find that the numbers aren't on our side, and they should be, because enough people agree that this is unacceptable, but not enough exposure of the darker stuff is hitting people, and they need to know that we're dealing with, you know, basically, you know, satanic cults out there. And I know that is shocking for some people, but that's the only way that they're really going to, you know, take a step back and maybe confront this thing in a whole new way.
Well, you know, when there was a video of Bohemian Grove, it was shown to the world. So there's really no controversy. This is really real. Anybody who's seen that video of Bohemian Grove would have to agree with you.
Yeah, and the people that see it that don't want to believe it make excuses or you know, say that it's staged. I mean, people will make any excuse to keep their mindset or belief systems you know, free from being challenged. But yeah, there needs to be more of that. And there's a lot of it going around. But I think people are just scared and they just, you know, really don't know what to do. And so they just go into kind of, going back to putting their head in the sand.
Right.
So, you know, more exposure. And it's going to be great because Free Your Mind conference coming up at the end of April, Kathy O'Brien, who's, survived being a monarch slave, is going to be a speaker. And getting more of that out there, I think, is really important. More stories that can corroborate what she's saying, to really just, you know, not just have it be a random video here and there, but to actually just make it a very, very, very public thing. I mean, books have already been put out, but not enough people have read them. And, you know, it's a great sign that the Pope has resigned. So hopefully we're going to see more of that type of thing where those who are corrupt are going to step down because justice is starting to happen and people are starting to hold them accountable.
Right. Kathy O'Brien was part of the MK Ultra program. Why don't you briefly explain MK Ultra?
Yeah, MK Ultra is, you know, mind control that came out of really the Nazis and really came into the American government when Project Paperclip was established and so many of the Nazi scientists were moved to the United States. Not necessarily something that they wanted, but, you know, at the same time, on a deeper level, the Zionists and the Nazis are very, you know, connected. And so MKUltra has so many branches of mind control, and monarch programming has to do with being a trained assassin or a sex slave or, you know, a being that is going to do the bidding of and the dirty work of those that are in power, and not just the dirty work, but perform a particular role that feeds the sickest minds. And basically they traumatize you when you're a child so that you split into multiple personalities, and then they're able to program the alternate personalities and call those personalities forward based on using codes. And then, you know, they can manipulate them to do whatever they want. And then when they're done, then they put back the, you know, the dominant personality that person identifies most with, and it's forgotten and they don't even remember. They're being used like they're a computer. And it's beyond disturbing. David Icke talks about it a lot. You know, there's so many speakers out there that, you know, bring a lot of light to this subject. I could name a whole list, but it's just important to look into and to understand, you know, what goes on. And Project Monarch is just one. There's Project Talent, there's Project Mannequin, there's Project Surrogate, and it all has to do with hybridization as well. And, you know, creating basically undetectable human slaves that exist amongst us. And they're celebrities as well that are controlled to, you know, be in a position of fame. And they're not in charge of themselves at all, but they appear to be, you know, talented and somewhat normal, but they have handlers and they're controlled. And, you know, the monarch slaves are the worst because it's extreme, extreme sexual abuse starting from, you know, when they're children. And the level of pedophilia that goes on is unbelievable. And the amount of ritual, I mean, it's more ghastly than any of these movies that they're playing. So instead of watching the movies, we need to, you know, take a look at what's really happening and start to address it because, it's horrific and it's hard for a lot of people to even comprehend, but it's real.
But, you know, what David Icke says is we need to be streetwise, and I know this is a metaphysical audience, so we don't need to dwell on it, but we need to know about it and deal with it and do some practical things and then get on with our life and do some really positive things. So, for instance, what if we vote with our dollar on fresh food instead of GMO food? What if we just start going out in our community and voting with our dollar?
Like, what do you mean?
Just buying organic foods and going to farmers markets and supporting local businesses. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything to just not feed the beast and to support those that are really in the flow of being with nature, growing natural organic food, you know, supporting the light workers rather than the entertainment industry, and really just shifting our focus. Because there's enough people complaining, but, you know, they're still supporting the system in so many ways. And, yeah, it's not about dwelling or going into doom scenarios. It's about being empowered. It's about understanding, you know, what's going on and then empowering the things that are going to make a huge difference because it needs to grow in numbers. You know, the more people that support the things that count, the less, you know, the beast is being fed. And that's critical right now.
Right. You know, when I moved out to the desert about 6 months ago, and I did not flip on my TV, and what I found is that I'm much more interested in community involvement, whether it's going to a drum circle or a New Age concert or playing a game of tennis or just getting out and meeting people. All of a sudden, you become more attuned to your community.
Yeah, and that's the danger of television and all these technological devices. They keep us, like, plugged in rather than in connection. And right now, unity is everything because it's, to me, like the global immune system. The more built it is, the more we connect, the more we get to know our neighbor, and the more we increase, you know, the love and the connections. You know, it's like the physical body, when it increases the immune system, it naturally wards off the parasites and diseases. And it's the most important thing right now is to unify and come together and get to know each other and utilize one another's skills instead of, you know, live our lives through a box and other people's lives, which are, you know, programmed, you know, celebrities that are holding and empowering an agenda that they might not even realize they're empowering. And it just, it sucks our energy and it keeps us from each other. And that's what they want. They want us to stay sort of divided and disconnected. And yeah, so absolutely, the community stuff is hugely important.
Right. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about some new activities. What's coming up on your schedule? What new projects are coming up for you?
Well, I've got the Cosmic Reunion going on in L.A. with speakers like Barbara Lamb, Dr. Dream, Cynthia Crawford, Peter Sterling, Robert Perella, Anelia Benz, and I know there's more. And it's March 31st, and it's going to be in L.A., and then in April, at the end of April, Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia. I think it's April 27th, or 26th, 27th, and 28th. Or 27th, 28th, and 29th, but it's that weekend. And it's going to be incredible. I mean, Mark Paseo, Anthony Michael Falsetta, two really good people and friends of mine that have put this on. And I went 2 years ago, and it was mind-blowing. All sorts of incredible speakers. Freeman Fly, Andrew Bishago, Alfred Weber, Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips, Sonia Barrett. So, yeah, people need to check it out. Look at the speakers, you know, look at the venue and, you know, join us because this is really where the community support is. This is when we get, you know, a real opportunity to get the message out and get this information out and spread it to the masses. So, yeah, lots of events going on, and it's all listed on my website, but those are the two that are most immediate. And my website's CosmicGaiaSophia.com.
Okay, and I really appreciate the way you've used the power of Facebook. Why don't you tell a little bit about, is it spontaneous what you decide to post? Because I really love your messages.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it is spontaneous. I mean, I'm always in deep processes, working energy, and, you know, in deep thought, day and night. Just, and so insights come to me that assist me in moving through stuff, and then I'm like, well, if that was helpful to me, maybe I should post it. Maybe it'll be helpful to somebody else. And because I'm an astrologist, I keep, you know, real close my eye on, you know, what's happening with the planet. And so I like to, you know, relate it to those sort of things. So, yeah, it's just a great tool. Facebook is great. I mean, it's just where we all gather. And it's not just a social network. I mean, it's a unification tool. And I also think it's a launching pad because we don't want to rely too much on technology because that can dumb us down. But technology gives us the opportunity to unite and get to know each other. And then from there, we get to, you know, maybe move into some higher abilities and encourage each other to, you know, really move away from the things that don't serve us. And it just, and to embrace the things that do. And it's just a great, great tool for that because lots of conversation, lots of things being shared, lots of stuff that they've wanted to keep hidden. And, you know, I just think that, you know, there's major backlash happening because of the amount of truth that's being circulated and the amount of, you know, the wildfire that it sets. You know, you share one thing and then it spreads and then it gets shared with other friends. And then, you know, this is really how to spread information is these social networks. So I love it. I never imagined that when I started on Facebook that it would turn into what it has. And I just, you know, I have a lot of pages going and I just really share my truth and I just, you know, post other people's stuff and I just love it. I'm just grateful I went from knowing two people to now thousands.
Yeah, people should go on your page and join you. I want to ask you, very spontaneous, right off the top of your head, give us three simple tools or steps we can do to improve our life today, right now. What can we do?
Just think the words harmony, unity, and balance. And, you know, if we just keep having that in our awareness when we wake up in the morning, we can start to look at the things that aren't in unity and balance and harmony. And just devoting to those three words just gives us a chance to, you know, restore, you know, damaged relationships or, you know, difficult dynamics that we have with ourselves. Maybe we're, you know, in some level of addiction or depression. And just to, you know, really raise the frequency and improve our lifestyle so that it's really a living example of what we'd like the world to be. And I know that sounds maybe cliche, but it just has such a huge impact the more we work on that inner balance, because it's the relationship between the masculine and feminine being broken and distorted that has been the worst thing that's really ever happened to us, because it's kept us in a low frequency. It's allowed us to easily be controlled. It's caused a lot of heartache, lots of divorces, and it keeps us sort of complacent about the larger issue of how this imbalance has been so damaging to the world. You know, if we don't start paying attention to what's happening in our own personal lives and the patterns and imprints that we've inherited from our biological parents and also the archetypes in creation, you know, I mean, there's been so much cosmic battle and in these angelic realms that have fallen and the extraterrestrial lower agendas, and we've inherited it and we carry it in our consciousness, and our DNA has been dumbed down. So we're living examples of this agenda, and we play it out and we don't realize how much we perpetuate it and allow it to exist. So when we make personal commitments to ourselves to just not be a product of it or a unconscious agent to it, you know, we send out a higher frequency and it starts to transmute these lower broken energies, and it brings it back into alignment and unification, and it upgrades our DNA and it allows us to be activated, and it just helps us to transcend the heavy density that we're in, that we're, you know, moving out of based on the cosmic alignment. And so if we get too distracted, we miss the mark, and we lose focus and we get more immersed in something artificial. And right now, I mean, we're in alignment with the galactic plane, so we really want to utilize the energies and work with them rather than, you know, continue to absorb ourselves in the things that take us further and further away.
Right. So where do you, I'm curious where you get your news, because I don't go on the mainstream media anywhere. I go to David Icke and Rents, and where do you get your news?
I would say, you know, Alfred Weber, you know, just being, he does that news thing with ExoPolitics. His articles are really amazing. You know, I look at articles that people are sharing, and Lisa Renee, I check her stuff every month, her updates. To me, she has the best news on a galactic level, and anybody who's interested, that's energeticsynthesis.com. Her name's Lisa Renee. And, yeah, I catch the occasional interview when I see something that jumps out at me. And, yeah, I just keep my eyes open. But like you, I don't do anything mainstream. I don't watch television. So I just wait for the real news to come from sources that are just on the ball. And, you know, I go deep into just my own process, just through paying attention and just seeing what insights I have as far as what are the best solutions and what can be shared to help, you know, humanity stay focused on what counts. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much the same sources as you, but I guess Alfred Weber mostly just because, you know, he's a, you know, close friend and colleague, and I usually hear most stuff from him first.
Right. I want to remind our listeners that our main webpage has a news source. It's called TNT News. So please check that out once in a while, too. So I want to ask you, you know, we're a lot of us have disclosure. We believe in UFOs. Now the question is, who are the main players? Which are the main groups dealing with the planet right now, and what do they want?
You mean the darker ones? Or
The main groups of UFOs on this planet.
I'm not sure about the main group of UFOs, but as far as, you know, alien races.
Races.
We're dealing with the Greys and we're dealing with the Reptilians. And, you know, there are two control groups that actually joined forces in, I think, early 2000. You know, the Fallen Seraphim lines are the Reptilian, the Draco Reptilian, and then the Fallen Elohim are the Anunnaki. And they've sort of been kind of at battle with each other still within, you know, the intel groups and within the Illuminati. But around 2000, they decided to join forces so that they could reach the goal of, you know, world domination. And I guess it was a little bit too much for them to be at war with each other because I guess it left open too many cracks for the rest of us to kind of maybe jump in. And so they're trying to strengthen their purpose or mission, their I wouldn't even call it a purpose, their dysfunction and a dark mission. So, yeah, there were two controller groups, and basically they both have ties with, you know, Lucifer in a lot of ways. His DNA connects to both the Anunnaki and the Fallen Seraphim. But I guess, you know, one of the races is ready to wipe everybody out except for themselves, while the other races are looking more to just control and chip and, you know, keep the population not totally depleted, but more as an energy that they can siphon off of in order to feed their technologies to create, you know, more of this transhumanism agenda. And, yeah, so it seems that, you know, there's just a little bit more collaboration going on. I mean, I think they've always been on some level of collaboration, but the rankings as far as who's the most powerful to make the main decisions has been in question. And then, of course, there's the Guardian races and the light aspects of the Galactic Federation. I know there's some deception within the Galactic Federation, but, you know, and then, you know, the third group are those that want, you know, human liberation. So there's really three. But now it looks like it's just, you know, two because they have joined forces. And, yeah, it's really about them, you know, using these abductions to help replenish their race and give them a chance to exist here on the Earth plane and to have the ability to reproduce again. So they're using our genetics to help them become more of a real race that's able to, you know, multiply. Because without the use of our genetics, they only have, like, cloning. They don't have real reproductive organs. So this has just been a big agenda to rebuild a dying race. And that's what the treaties were about, but they broke the treaties, and now they're just, you know, trying to take over. And hybridization is a huge part of that. And, you know, they have so many underground bases underneath hospitals and just so many ways to just track, you know, the children being born, and they're just immediately targeted, their DNA. And if they see, you know, something that they want or need, you know, they're able to find out pretty early on and begin that targeting process. So, but, you know, the light forces are really strong. We really did something amazing over December 21st. I think things went a lot better than they could have. And I think that the power is really on our side more than theirs, and that's why we're seeing this backlash happening and a lot more justice begin to take place.
Well, how can we align with the light workers? Can we be in direct contact with them so we can begin some sort of negotiation process? I mean, how would this work?
I mean, I think we should just, you know, ask for guidance and assistance, but we want to be careful because, you know, some of these races are particularly want to, you know, fool people, especially New Age communities, that, you know, that they're ascended masters or they're, you know, benevolent, and they're not. And so, I mean, I think the best thing that we can do is look at ourselves because we're the most advanced technology and we're seated to be at such a high potential to go beyond 12 strand. And that's really what the agenda is about, is keeping us from being able to do that. You know, it's a war over consciousness and also control of the stargates on Earth. So I think, you know, we can ask for assistance, we can pray, we can just, you know, call it forth. But I think, you know, working with beings and, you know, channeling, I think people have to be really careful and just really focus in on intuition and discernment and just self-empowerment, recognizing that we are, you know, seated with a lot of incredible, I mean, our origins are with the higher level of what these races are before they were fallen. And we can either join in with them and let ourselves fall into just that frequency, or we can continue to upgrade our DNA and step into our power. And I don't think we need a whole lot of assistance in that. We really need each other more than anything. But, you know, I think if somebody wants to make contact, they need to make it very clear that there's a huge difference between those that want to step in and help and those that are supporting our sovereignty and us stepping into our own power. And those that want to recruit us into their groups, we need to be careful of it. But the ones that want to assist us on a personal level and being empowered, you know, are the ones that are much more, you know, the type to be working with, because many will appear to be benevolent but aren't. And the major difference is, you know, who's recruiting and who's assisting us in our own personal empowerment, because we are angelic humans. We are seated with the most divine potential. And that's why there's these agendas, because they don't want us to succeed in the ascension. And we're very much in the middle of this war between these races, and we're caught in the middle. So it's not so much about choosing sides. It's really about understanding that we have it in our own hands to reach a certain level of awareness and activation that allows us to be free of really needing a whole lot of help. But when we step into our power, we naturally attract it. Just like when we hold a high vibration in our lives, we attract greater synchronicity and, you know, more like-minded beings. You know, we'll do the same when we do the inner work. We'll draw in the assistance from higher beings when we, you know, take the responsibility first within ourselves. That's the best way to approach, you know, working with higher beings, is to make sure that we are, you know, stepping into our organic blueprint and understanding what that's made of. And I'll be offering courses at Exo University that talk all about, you know, the blueprints we need to activate and what our true nature is really all about, so that we can be empowered and we can know the difference between those that are trying to assist us and those that are trying to lead us further into danger and enslavement.
Right. I have a question. I met you, well, I saw you a few months ago at the Chemtrail Conference. Is the Chemtrail spraying, which is worldwide, is that alien-controlled, or is that human-based?
I think it's alien-controlled. I mean, it's all about... I mean, it's interesting because, you know, the reptilians have been on Earth for a really long time, and even biofeedback technologies that Michael Reif, who worked on Mars, used to uncover some hidden memories. And people check out Mars records on the Internet just to know what I'm talking about. They didn't pick up reptilians as being extraterrestrial, only, you know, the like higher races, just because they've been on Earth for so long. And, you know, but this agenda is really about creating this artificial holographic matrix that they police from, you know, the lower fourth dimension. And it's just a part of, you know, the alien agenda for sure. But, you know, the fact is, because of these treaties, the military has gotten their hands on these technologies, and that there's a lot that they do that they blame on aliens. But the thing is, you know, they're already in a sense possessed by these alien forces or reptilian forces. You know, if you're service to self, you're already holding a personality structure that makes it easy to be invaded or possessed. And so to me, they've already been taken over, and the leaders that are behind things like the chemtrail agenda are, to me, just already in that mindset. You know, I mean, I still consider reptilians to be pretty much extraterrestrial. They came from the, you know, Draco star system, but, you know, they were the watchers, and they you know, mixed their genetics with humans. And so the human hybrids are, you know, really those that are serving their higher masters. And so it's all connected. But what seems to be human, you know, behind these agendas aren't really that human, because, you know, they serve their masters, and they are hybrids. So, you know, it's kind of like a difficult question, because it's just kind of a little bit of everything, but it's all connected to an alien agenda for sure, and it's the use of these alien technologies. I don't think humans would know how to do this without the assistance of these races. And, you know, most of these technologies that have been traded, you know, some could have been used in a good way, but a lot of them are just about mind control. I mean, 9/11, when the Tower 7 fell, It held all the paperwork or a lot of the information about this. And really, you know, the money from the insurance went right into MK weapons. And that's what Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush, you know, were working to upgrade. And so, yeah, I mean, it's all alien, definitely alien. I mean, we're all dealing with off planet stuff. Even if we're not a part of an alien agenda, we're either dealing with spirit guides or benevolent races or our own connection to source energy, or we're dealing with demonic lower angelic forces that have fallen. And it just depends on your personal orientation. And so, you know, so many people in the government and in the shadow government are orientated towards service to self. And they're also in fear of their lives, and they've made deals that they can't really get out of. in exchange for having leadership roles and for having their lives spared. So a lot of it is fear-based as well. So it's either they're agents of it and they're willing, or they're in fear and they don't feel like they have a choice, or they think that they're doing good work and they are being lied to, and they're being told that it's, you know, to help stop global warming, or it's to keep aliens out, you know. So there's three different types. You're either being lied to and you think you're doing something good, or you're in fear and you're, you know, just a part of it, or you're an active participant and an agent and you are, you know, totally taken over. And you, in a sense, are, you know, have become, you know, these beings.
Right. It's interesting you mentioned global warming, because I researched that came about from 1968, the Club of Rome, which is another one of these Illuminati groups, unelected. And they implemented Agenda 21, which the United Nations can tell Americans how to use their land. Have you looked into this?
Oh, not really. But, yeah, it's all just a part of more of that control. So, I mean, yeah, definitely it all touches upon this type of thing, but I don't have, like, the facts in the way that you do on that.
Right. That's part of my show, is kind of bringing forth this information. But Building 7, just so our listeners know, was never even hit by an airplane. You know, it just collapsed on its own, which is absurd, you know.
Yeah, no other buildings ever in existence have ever fallen like Twin Towers, let alone one just on its own. Most skyscrapers that burn can burn for 24 hours and not even have anything fall.
Yeah,
I mean, the proof is overwhelming and people still make excuses. So.
Right. It's really interesting, after Sandy Hook happened, the massive amount of push for gun control and taking away guns from Americans. It's almost like that was scripted. That's how it felt.
Yeah, the whole TSA thing and the false flags with these school shootings and, you know, this false terrorism and this underwear bomber and all of it. It's all just connected to further enslavement to cause this sort of reaction and then have our leaders give us a solution. But it's all pre-planned in order for the solution to draw us further into their web, when most people think that, you know, they're looking to the leaders to give them a stronger sense of security. But the security is just, you know, another pole in the prison wall, you know.
You know, it's interesting. Here we are in 2013, and we're still being told the only way to get around is to drive a giant car fueled by oil. What do you feel? Do you feel that we have the technology to get around in other ways? Do you feel it's being suppressed?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the technology that's being suppressed is unreal. I mean, people watch Star Trek and sci-fi movies. All that technology is available. There's teleportation. There's time travel. You know, there's obviously UFO crafts. You know, even agents just have technologies that can allow them to disappear and reappear. And, I mean, you know, we're dealing with Star Trek technology, but we're only given, you know, little toys here and there just to make us think that we're evolving and you know, we're making strides on a technological level. The thing is, they hold all these, you know, technologies, they use them in a very dark way, and they're not spiritually advanced beings. And most of humanity isn't spiritually advanced either. And it's just, they have just no idea the level of manipulation going on. And, you know, they'll come out with, like, the new iPhone or some new technological advancement that they'll say that somebody in their, you know, garage, like a Bill Gates, you know, kind of invented. But they have a storehouse of tons of technology that's far more advanced. And, you know, they're just playing humanity, and it's just like theater. And they are creating this huge facade, making us think something that's completely false. They've got their hands on, and they have for so long, high level technology and dark occult technology that's highly manipulative, that draws, you know, the free energy from the planet, and it's turning free energy against us like a weapon. And our own kundalini and light bodies, you know, are siphoned off of and used against us as a weapon because we give our power away.
So the way you're describing Washington, D.C., it sounds like just a huge, giant, tangled ball of yarn. That should we try to untangle it or just work within ourselves and be spiritual in our daily lives?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I think the call to create justice is huge, and the call to really focus on our own inner work. I mean, I think we should untangle it, but I think exposing it all and not feeding it and I mean, the thing is, you know, if any parent knew that their teacher, the teacher at their children's school was a pedophile or a criminal, I don't think they would be sending their kid to school. I think most Americans and most people in this world would not be supporting these governments if they actually had enough evidence that they were as criminal as they are. So, you know, entangling it to the degree that these things can be exposed and then working to create justice and then focusing at home on our own relationships and our own ability to supply ourselves with organic food and just, you know, just the best quality things to create a healthy lifestyle, all of it, you know, all of it's really important. The thing is, you know, there's being spiritually awake, which doesn't always mean that we're aware of the deeper conspiracies, and then there's being aware of the deeper conspiracies and not being spiritually awake. You know, there's a lot of people that know the darkness that's going on, but they're not exactly in a high vibration of spiritual awareness. And then there's a lot of people that are high spiritual beings that, you know, just can't even grasp these dark agendas. So I think the best thing we can do is find the balance, be spiritually aware and be proactive. And if one's spiritually aware, to be open enough to the darkness, and if one's aware of the darkness, to not just be angry and be a victim to it, but to focus on, you know, staying in solution-orientated behaviors and, you know, work on the unification and the education of the masses rather than, you know, shirk away from it and be angry and, you know, try and find, you know, faults in everybody and just sit around and complaining. And, you know, I see a lot of that in the truth movement, a lot of battles going on and a lot of people that are all about truth, but yet keep this duality going on, and they're in their ego. So, you know, this is a mass transformation on multiple levels. It takes, you know, the desire to create justice and the desire as well to, you know, be in a high vibration of love and unity.
Right.
And forgiveness. I mean, it's hard to hold love and unity when there's a lot to just make us really, really, really angry. So when we get angry, we need to use that passion to, you know, channel into solutions.
What's interesting is every once in a while I call my congressman, and it's nice because it's usually a young person who answers the phone, probably just out of college. And so that's my chance to share a little bit with them about these issues and make my point. And I don't do it in an angry way, but I share that information with my congressman, and I just wanted to pass that along. And I also feel, I'm pretty sensitive, I feel like one of the states will secede, and I think it might be Texas. And I think that would send a message to Washington. If we could just get one state to secede, that, hey, we do have the ultimate power. So I encourage people to kind of get involved in your state level as well. I don't think it's quite as corrupted.
Yeah, it's really important because there's a lot of, you know, good people in the government that just have no idea what's going on in the shadows. And they really just do think they're doing a service to humanity. And, you know, the compartmentalization is what's so key for them, you know, where you do a particular role, but you don't know what's going on, you know, next to you. You don't know what piece of the puzzle it's fitting into, you know, the New World Order agenda. Most of these politicians don't even know because they're not told. They're just, you know, doing a particular role. But if they were to step back, they can see how it fits into something that's really, really dark and sinister. And so the more we can educate even those that are in leadership positions, the better. And that's what I try and do when I go to D.C. and just utilizing the contacts I have just in the Eisenhower family. You know, every time I go to a family gathering or I'm in Washington, I got a huge mouth and I just spout it out. You know, there's passion and there's anger, but it's not to drive people away. It's to allow them, you know, just to, you know, take it seriously. But then, you know, it's not about division. It's about unity. So very similar to you. I want to be proactive, and there's a lot to be upset about for sure, but then at the same time, you know, we want to, you know, really just, you know, bring a lot of just that teamwork, you know, like let's all, you know, expose this and then work together. But, you know, it takes a little bit of anger to get that fire going and to be heard sometimes.
Well, that's why I kind of tell people, even my New Age friends who are very gentle, just watch an Alex Jones video. Yes, I know he's angry, but it's good to watch one or two, you know, and just find out who the bad guys are. And then you can transform your energy and find a solution.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think, you know, the first stage is, you know, getting out of just turning the other way and you know, when one really takes a good look, yeah, it's going to be upsetting and it's going to make you angry. But, you know, that's coming from the heart because everybody wants justice. Nobody wants anybody who's innocent to suffer. We want to protect our children. We have every right to be rageful and pissed off. And I call it divine rage. But then, of course, it needs to be channeled into solutions, and it needs to help us become more empowered rather than sink into victimhood or, you know, into just hopelessness. And this is what's so great about social networks. We get to really unite, really are not alone in this. And there's just plenty of ways to channel anger into something amazing, and it's the fire of transformation that, you know, it can become, and that's what fire is. It can be anger or it can be passion, and rage can be transmuted into something that can change everything, and that's what we want to do is just unify and let, you know, that part of ourselves just be that fire of change, and that's, you know, then we rise like the phoenix out of the flames.
Right. There is a film that's gone viral right now. They've released the copyright. It's free. It's called Thrive. And I found out 30 million Americans have seen it. I'm asking people to post it on Facebook, share it. What's your take on the movie Thrive?
Oh, it's awesome. And yeah, and there's, you know, more of that kind of stuff going out, and it's just important to spread it. And, you know, it just really gives people just an opportunity to look at things in a whole different light, and it's presented really well. It's not fear-based. It's good. And, yeah, you know, people need to share this stuff. Every single person, you know, we all, each person knows, it's like for every person there's another 100 people or more, and everybody's participation in this counts. It's much more important. You know, everybody goes out of their way to go and vote for a president. You know, let's vote for consciousness. Vote for, you know, your freedom, and you know, step up to that by voting for just the options that we have, which is to spread awareness. That's the ultimate vote. There's nothing more important than that right now. Don't be looking to leaders or government or religion or any of these power structures, these false authority structures. You know, look to where you can make a change.
And the website is thrivemovement.com. That's thrivemovement.com. Real quick, we have 5 minutes. What's your take on, you know, our founding fathers were all Freemasons, but we're not allowed to learn anything about them in school. What piece of the puzzle do Masons play in all of this?
Well, I mean, the Masons and the original Illuminati and Templars were all infiltrated very early on in our history. They used they use all that knowledge to create more darkness, and their knowledge of the occult puts them in touch with a lot of power, and it's power that they use for very dark reasons. And I think that there are some good Masons out there that still try and hold the original intention, and those numbers are really small. Now the Freemasons, all of it has become sort of a satanic group, and it's all just connected to ritual. And I even, you know, David Icke has even said that in order to move up the ranks, you move up the ranks by doing something very disgusting and criminal. And the original way to go about it was the opposite. It's all about the ranks based on, you know, spiritual initiation, not further immersion into being demonic and dark.
Absolutely. So we're just in the last few minutes. We have another thing in common. We're both tarot readers. So if people want a reading from me off the air, go to mysteryislands.net, and I can do a Skype reading. And what about you? Are you available for tarot?
Yeah, I do readings. All that information is on my website. That's cosmicgaiasophia.com. And, all the events and services are there. So, definitely.
And my last question is, do you feel you're leading up to being an ambassador between ETs and humans, like some kind of broker or mediator in disclosure? Do you feel that's maybe a role coming your way?
Well, I'd certainly accept it if it was. I definitely know that I'm just, you know, I have a powerful mission, and I'm open to whatever is required of me. And as things unfold, you know, I'll use my discernment and intuition to make, you know, decisions that are the best for, you know, humanity and Mother Earth. And I'm open to whatever is necessary, you know, to reach this goal of total liberation and ascension. So Yeah, I can see that. I'm open to that. I used to sort of envision that when I was younger, actually.
Absolutely. Well, we've really covered the gamut here. Is there any, maybe one or two books you can recommend for some of the history of our planet that people can read? How about
I would check out Ashiana Deanne in the Voyager books. And Lisa Renee hasn't written a book, but her website just has so much information. And like I said, that's energeticsynthesis.com. David Icke's books are excellent.
Jim Mars is good.
Jim Mars is great. Oh, gosh, there's just so many. Jay Widener
is phenomenal, yeah. And just Coast to Coast is great. I know you've been on there a few times, right?
Yeah, I've been on there once. And also John Lash, to understand more about Sophia and Gaia, and that's my arena as well. But John Lash has written some great books. And, yeah, Coast to Coast and just these you know, shows, your show, and all the just, you know, any chance to hear, you know, speakers and just all the information that's coming out, you know, just definitely, you know, move away from the false news and the fake false flags and all that stuff. I mean, observe it, but to get the real news, this is definitely the direction to go in. And, well, you know, there's disinformation out there, so, you know, just be careful.
Well, we're out of time, but, you know, we have James Gilliland on our network here at bbsradio.com, and he's an ambassador. So I would like to invite you to have a show on our network sometime if you are interested. And I really appreciate you, Laura, for joining us. Thank you. Give us the website one last time.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to see you next. And my website's Cosmic, COSMIC, Gaia, GAIA. Sophia, SOPHIA.com, CosmicGaiaSophia.com.
Or go to YouTube and type in Laura Eisenhower and check out your lectures. Thank you, Laura, for joining us. Goodbye. Namaste.
Okay, namaste. Thank you.
Thank you.